Hi, I'm Mike Slenz, and welcome to Nintendo World Report's Connectivity, Episode 4. This week, we've got three segments for you. First off, Scott and Zach will cover This Week in News. Nate then joins Scott to reminisce on how Mother 3 caused them to meet and become friends. And finally, Andy, Neil, and Zach briefly go over why Frogger 3DS isn't just Frogger on 3DS. We love listener mail, so don't forget to send your thoughts and questions to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. Enjoy the show.
Hello, folks, and this is Zachary Miller, your host for this segment. Me and Scott Thompson here.
Hello,
Scott. We're going to be talking up some news, and just like last time, the news isn't fantastic, but I like to think it's better than saying that Darksiders 2 has a unique control scheme on the Wii U.
Only slightly better, but a little better.
Yeah,
Zach, before we jump into the news, I got to ask, I've been curious, Terra Nova, do you watch it?
I've watched the first two episodes, and then I deleted it off the DVR.
Now, is that because the show's bad, or did they get some, like, technical aspect of, like, a dinosaur's name in Latin wrong, and you just couldn't deal with it?
Both. All of the above. The show itself is awful, even if it didn't have dinosaurs in it, but they just have a complete disregard for even the most basic things about these dinosaurs. They could look on Wikipedia, and they'd get things right, but they failed to do even that.
Well,
so,
clearly, I think this is an opportunity for Fox to hire you as sort of a consultant, you know, a dinosaur consultant, get you on board.
I think they should. It seems like the consultant they have right now is a book from, you know, some textbook from 1979. So, they got to do something about it. But, you know, I almost watched it last night. That would have been the third episode, but my wife was like, you're just going to hate it the whole time. You're going to hate yourself for watching it. You're going to hate the show. So I thought,
DVR'd the first episode, but for some reason, I just can't bring myself to, like, watch it. I don't know why, but I guess hearing this will not be motivation to actually do it, so.
No. And it's just, I have a blogger friend who called it, Angsty Nova. Because all the show's kind of, the first episode's all about these teenagers who are full of angst, and they get into angst-related trouble, and people have to save them, and it's just awful.
Wow. Yeah.
Don't watch it. How about that?
But, okay. Well, I've been wondering that for a while, so I just had to get that out there.
Sure.
That's somewhat news-related, yeah. I guess.
The listeners need to know. Don't watch Terra Nova. You'll be disappointed. So let's talk up some news here. From what I understand, Pro Evolution Soccer for 3DS from Konami is going to have online play, like so many other 3DS games.
Is that sarcasm there I'm sensing?
Maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's cool. I mean, good for them, for taking that step and actually trying to do it.
Stepping up to the bar.
The bar of 5 years ago. Yeah, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I've always had awful luck getting my 3DS to connect to other people. It's terrible. Like, I'll see them in a lobby, but I click it, or they click it if they're trying to join me, and we both get an error code.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I haven't tried to play anything online with the 3DS, but I played a lot of, like, Tetris and Mario Kart with the DS, and, I mean, that worked just fine.
Yeah, Mario Kart worked, always worked for me. Yeah, Pokemon, it's weird. Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver, it worked. I was able to trade Pokemon with people for a long time, and I almost have a living Pokedex in that. But at a certain point, my DSi was like, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore, and started giving me an error code or other people an error code whenever we tried to connect, so I am like a dozen Pokemon short from a living
Pokedex.
You
could just go old school, like I remember doing when I was a kid, and just buy like every version of the game, and then get two Game Boys and just, you know, trade them with yourself.
I've done that before as well. This is why they keep This is why they keep making the same game.
at least two versions of it. Can you imagine if they split it up more, made like three or four that each had unique Pokemon at the same time? I mean, that would be...
That would be evil, but we'd all buy them.
I think so.
So, all right. Well, you know that. Remember that European Wii that was going to remove GameCube support.
Yes.
It was supposed to be smaller or something and cheaper. Well, they're bringing it here, and they're bringing it here this month. In fact, October 23rd.
Yeah, that's pretty soon.
You know, why not? I think it comes with a game. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it does. I think it comes with new Super Mario Brothers Wii, and then I think it even comes like with the Mario soundtrack.
That's not bad.
I think maybe came with the 25th anniversary of Mario. That little collection.
Oh, that thing. Yeah, I think you're right.
This is perfect because I was just thinking how I could use a Wii that has even less functionality, and here it is.
Yes. That's what we all need.
This makes sense. I mean, a cheaper Wii that. With, you know, a big game like Zelda coming out, you know, who knows? Maybe people will be inclined to pick up this cheap Wii, you know, exclusively to play that Zelda game. Anyone who's sold theirs in the months and months of not having anything worth playing.
Well, and I don't think this happened with the, it hasn't happened in a while. It didn't happen with the N64 or the GameCube, but, you know, they redesigned the NES, right? Before the SNES came out, and then they redesigned the SNES right before the GameCube came out. So it's kind of a return to the old ways.
True.
I'll be interested to see if it actually looks
different. I saw the box art for it, and it does look smaller. It looks a little sleeker. In fact, it looks a little closer to like what the Wii U looks like.
That's interesting.
Smaller.
That'll make it even more confusing as to what
it looks. Yeah, it looks
is.
Like a little smoother and less jagged.
Well, my Wii is broken. I'd actually buy this if I could transfer all my games, but of course I can't.
But is that because your Wii is broken to the point where you couldn't even do that? Or
I can't load. I mean, games won't load, right? And games don't transfer anyway. So.
Well, yeah, that sucks then. Was there any price announced for this?
I think I want to say the bundle is going to be $150.
Okay, that's disappointing. I was hoping it was going to go cheaper than that.
Yeah, but I'm sure it's $150 because they're including stuff with it.
Can't you get a Wii right now for $150? Or is it still?
I think you can with a bundle.
Yeah, that seems weird. So you'll get a Wii that can't play GameCube games for the same price. I already got one, so I'm not worried about it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And yours has more functionality.
Precisely. So
there you go. Well, another sign that your console is nearing the end of its life is that you start putting out more and more bundles to try and get people to buy it. And Mario and Sonic at the 2012 London Olympic Games is getting a Wii bundle. Thank God.
Is this the one that's blue? Okay, I thought so. It's cool that it's blue, but I mean, what really? I was even like,
somebody needs to make a transparent.
I was just saying, thinking that, like, how great if the Wii had come out back, like, in the late '90s when that was all the rage. Did they even have it? Did they have a transparent N64? I know they had controllers. They did.
Yeah, they did.
How'd that be?
It was a purple case, but
you're
it was
right.
transparent.
Yeah, but man, that would be awesome. And then you could really see if inside there's just a tiny little GameCube, or two little tiny GameCubes just strapped together. Just working.
Exactly.
That'd be awesome. But yeah, I don't know.
I guess now we know. Well, maybe they took out one GameCube from the
that's
new smaller
true.
One.
That's very true. No, it's just one GameCube. But I like the color and everything. And I thought back when the Wii was first announced that they were going to end up doing a lot of like different colors. That seemed like they kind of teased that.
I did too.
And then eventually the controllers came in different colors. And then they released the black one. And there's the red one too, the Mario red one. But yeah, I don't know. It seems a little late.
I'm actually surprised. Yeah, I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner. You know, Sony remade the PS3, and then Microsoft made a slim version of the 360. So
yeah,
kind of late to the train there.
Plus,
Nintendo.
Just imagine what the shelves are going to look like now. So you'll have the white Wii, the black Wii. You can maybe still find the red Wii, although probably not. you're going to have this new smaller Wii without GameCube support, and then now you're going to have this new blue Wii with Mario and Sonic at the London Olympics or London Games. I mean, it's like five different SKUs just sitting there, just you know, like at your local Target. It's like, where do you even go from there? Right? I mean, what are they doing?
I know, you're right. Yeah, I know, you're right.
It's so many different SKUs. I just don't get it.
What Nintendo has been, you know, Nintendo's goal is to confuse the consumer. And they're doing a wonderful job.
I was at, I don't know if it was Target or some other store just the other day, and I was looking at their, like, their DS section, and, like, in the, like, locked glass case, they've got still the DSi in, like, a couple colors, a bunch of the DSi XLs, and then like all the different colors of the 3DS now, and they're all just like piled on top of each other in there. Like, if I was a parent shopping for my kid this holiday season, there's so many opportunities to just go wrong there. It's just there's so many SKUs, and didn't Nintendo even just within the past few weeks release a new color of the DSi XL?
I don't know about the DSi XL, but they just released a new color.
Yeah, I know they did like the red 3DS or whatever, but I'm pretty sure they just released a new DSi XL model, and it just
I wouldn't be surprised.
I just don't know what they're doing. Why just drop that? Do they really want to make sales on that? Like when the 3DS is sort of floundering, you know, somewhat. I guess I don't know.
They gotta sell something.
It's just crazy. I can't believe it. Like what a weird.
Yeah, it's.
You know, actually, we don't have it in our written down here, but speaking of sort of botched business handlings, how about Netflix deciding to drop Quickster and just stick with Netflix? They just go, you know what? I think we were wrong on that one. And then they just apologize for it. I mean, what?
That's what we were wrong on.
It's so
on.
Crazy. I mean, like, if you would have told me 6 months ago that Netflix was going to raise their prices, like, fragment their user base, like, piss a bunch of people off, try to spin off, you know, the DVD by mail system into a separate company.
That's
synonymous with, you know, with the company, and then decide not to do that and just bring it back all in house. I would have thought you were crazy, but here we are.
You know, it's weird what's going on over there. It's like they can't make up their mind how they want to.
I don't know the last time I've seen like a company make this many just like bad decisions and then turn back on them. I've gotten so many emails from them in the past 2 months of them just apologizing for stupid shit that they've done. It's crazy.
It's like that, I don't know if you watch South Park, but there was a really good South Park last season where BP would drill into stuff and, you know, they'd cause a huge environmental disaster. And then the next day there'd be a TV commercial where BP's president was like, we're sorry. And then that's it would happen awesome. The next day, and he'd make a new commercial.
I didn't see that, but that's perfect. And yeah, that's pretty much what this situation is. And
well, I look forward to the day where they figure out what the fuck they're doing.
And I guess some people are wondering, they didn't really mention it, but if the game rental thing is still going to happen. Because that was supposed to be
Quickster,
but then they didn't really mention that. They just mentioned, well, we're just going to keep doing DVDs. So I don't know what the deal is with that.
I would really like there to be a game rental thing, because I don't want to pay $60 for anything.
Well, you could do Gamefly, but
yeah, but let's try and calculate how far a distribution center is from Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah, that's
for
true.
Gamefly.
That's very true.
So, all right, well, that is interesting, and it's always fun to get those emails from Netflix.
I just feel bad for the guy with the Quickster Twitter account. I mean, this was his opportunity to make it big. And maybe he held out. Maybe it was him that caused all this. He wouldn't sell that handle for a low amount. And Netflix just said, no, we're walking away. I'll have to check his Twitter page. I see some recent tweets. But yeah, let's move on then.
I thought I had job security here. All right, well, the last news story I think is the most interesting, even though it's still not really that interesting. Remember how there was a Hammer Brothers suit in Mario 3? Well, now there's going to be a Boomerang Brothers suit in Mario 3D Land World.
Galaxy, Sunshine,
yeah,
Lost in Time. Yeah, I don't know. That seems cool. I you know, yeah. Like, having not played it at all, I'm having a hard time imagining what that'll be like, in 3D. You know, Renny, I know, a lot of times, I think the game still kind of has you moving just in two directions, and it, you know, it just has that 3D effect and setup. But I feel like a lot of times it's not like you're running in any direction at any time. But still, you know, I just wonder how it'll handle. Same with, like, the fireballs and everything.
Yeah, that is. I haven't put any thought into, you know, it's that time where I'm trying not to think too much about Zelda or Mario 3D or Mario Kart. You know, I'm avoiding all, like, I know a whole bunch of info just dropped on Zelda. I was like, I'm avoiding that like a plague. I don't want anything spoiled for me. And it's the same way with Mario 3D Land. It's like, I know I'm going to love that game because it's Mario and it's a platformer. And I really don't want to know much about it at
all. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Like, a bunch of trailers just dropped for Zelda, like, highlighting different things. And, yeah, I didn't look at any of them. I'm not reading any previews for any of the games. Like, I just want to... I mean, they're so close now that it's like, why bother? More and more, it's just going to get spoiled.
Yeah, why would you?
I can wait a month, you know, or 2 months, whatever it is, and be just fine.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And, you know, it's kind of like... kind of like movie trailers for me. It's like, the movie's going to come out. Just let me watch the movie.
Oh, well, speaking of, did you watch the Avengers trailer today that just released?
I watched it right before this podcast.
Wow.
It was
just okay. Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's maybe it's because I'm more of a DC guy, but you know, is the bad guy just going to be Loki? Because that'll suck.
I mean, that's all that they, like, showed in the trailer, really. But you got to imagine that,
yeah.
I don't know, they'll weave in some more, like, different bad guys from different franchises. But I don't know.
Yeah, I hope so. I always like seeing
Iron Man. I thought for sure you were going to say Scarlett Johansson.
No, you know, not so much. Maybe 5 years ago.
Okay. Not at the stuff anymore, huh?
She's lost a lot of weight. You know, I didn't like Iron Man 2, but I like Iron Man, the character. And I think it'll be funny to see how he interacts.
Well, yeah, even everybody. The trailer is like 95% him just making fun of everyone else.
Yeah, it is. That was so great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And it'll be interesting to see Mark Ruffalo portray the Hulk.
Instead of Edward Norton,
Or instead of that Australian actor from the original Terrible Hulk movie.
That was I saw the Edward Norton one. I didn't see the one before it, but it's just so funny to, like, do one Hulk movie and then basically, like, within 2 years just reboot it with a whole new actor and, like, like a new origin story. Like, yeah, guys, we really messed up that first one. Let's just start over. I can't imagine that happening.
It feels like they're doing that with Spider-Man now, because they're coming out with a new Spider-Man with a new origin actor. It's like, didn't we just see this movie?
Yeah, it seems weird to retell the origin story again. But I feel like there's been enough time between the first Spider-Man and then this one. It's been like at least 10 years. So it's like...
Yeah, that's probably true.
So it's like, okay, I can deal with that. But it'd be like if a year from now they just like re-released the 7th Harry Potter movie and we're like, yeah, we didn't get it right the first time. Like, we got a whole new cast. We're going to stay closer to the book. And it's going to be good.
Right.
I don't know.
Going to have Justin Timberlake as Harry and Katy Perry will be the Hermione.
We're going to go in a new direction with this. I don't know.
Instant classic.
So it's just weird, but the trailer was definitely exciting. It'll be interesting to see if they, like, if it's just the trailer or if, like, what's his freaking name? The guy who plays Iron Man. I can't think of his name.
Junior.
Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. See if they can, like, bring him in at all, or if it really is just going to be, like, his movie, you know?
It'll be, like, Iron Man.
Basically,
and his friends.
Iron Man and company. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see. But it look pretty sweet.
Well, I hope they give what's his name? Deadeye.
The
bow and arrow dude. I hope they give him some character development, because he didn't get his own movie.
And then neither did the character that Scarlett Johansson's playing. Who's
Her movie was Iron Man 2. You know, Iron Man 2 is basically the Avengers prequel.
That's true.
Yeah. Which disappointed me about.
Yeah, it really was a setup movie. And it was. Feels like Thor and Captain America, well, good movies. It feels like they too were just like, well, we got to release these so people will be interested in the Avengers.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of.
Especially Thor. Like, I recently saw Thor and I was like, well, I guess they had to make this, but they didn't put a whole lot of effort into it.
I've never seen a movie company like go through this effort of releasing all these like backstory movies just so they can do this huge event, you know, and then for it to all be planned from the start. Kind of interesting.
Yeah. Now, I haven't seen Captain America yet. I've heard it's pretty good.
I thought it was.
Like, I've heard it stands on its own.
I thought it was better than Thor.
Okay. Well, that's probably not.
But yeah, they were all good, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I'm excited for Captain America's coming to the Dollar Theater next week, and I'm friggin' psyched.
Now, do you guys have normal movie theaters up there in Alaska, or is that do you guys only have dollar theaters?
we have normal movie theaters that are stupid expensive, and then when they're about to hit DVD, the Dollar Theater, which is really a $5 theater, will pick it up, and you can actually have beer and pizza in there. So a lot of movies, I just wait. I'm like, I don't really need to see this movie in the, you know, expensive theater. I'll just wait to have pizza, pay $5 for it. That's how it was with Transformers 3, and I still regretted paying $5 for that.
I'm excited. I think they're, I don't know if it's out yet, but I know there's going to be a riff track coming up soon for Transformers 3. And
Sweet. How can there
I'm
not
pumped
be?
For the riff tracks for the first two were great, so. I'm excited.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I don't remember the first one, but I remember the second one. I was laughing my ass off the whole
classic.
Time.
But
well, that's all the news that is news.
Like
exciting stuff. Better than Darksiders 2.
Yeah. I'd say so.
That's just gonna be my running gag every week. It's gonna be like, well, it's better than that story that the Wii U version will have a unique control scheme. You know, I think the Zelda game is going to have a unique control scheme, too, on the Wii U.
You don't say.
No, I'm just being a dick. So, well, thank you, Scott, for joining me in this.
Well, yeah, I mean, imagine if it had just been you. That would have been something.
That would have been something. I don't really know what that would have been, but it would have been something. It would have been 20 minutes of me just looking through eBay ads of new girls.
It'd have been what you do normally during the podcast. Yeah, just silence,
exactly.
And just mouse clicks, and then just you like under your breath, like, well, that's not bad.
That's too expensive.
Yeah, maybe we'll do something for that next week. Just 20
oh my
minutes
God,
of Zach shopping.
All right, sir. Well, I trust that this will become a part of a larger podcast, and I thank you for
absolutely
coming on
thank
with me.
You. Welcome to this segment of Connectivity, in which I'll be talking to, I guess, what's your title now, Nate? Previews editor?
That's pretty much accurate.
Okay. to Nate Andrews, preview editor here at NWR. And we're going to be talking about our sort of love for Mother 3 and sort of our joint history with the game and how it's led us to NWR. So, Nate, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. So, yeah, I guess, I mean, let's jump right into it. I guess for anyone who's unfamiliar with Mother, which I don't think if you listen to this podcast or read this.
Turn it off right now, because yeah, you won't care about any of this.
Yeah, you somehow stumbled here by accident. Mother, obviously, is sort of this quirky RPG series that's been released mostly in Japan. We did get the second game, Mother 2, which was titled Earthbound, here in the States. And for some bizarre reason, we never got Mother 3. Would you say that's fairly accurate, Nate?
Yeah, and it's a shame that that is the case, because those are great games.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess because it was never properly released here in the States, some dedicated fans took the...
Yeah, thankfully, Mother fans are absolutely crazy in their dedication to bringing some of this stuff stateside. So.
Exactly. They're the best kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So they went through the effort of translating Mother 3 and just releasing it for free to the general public. Anyone who wants to play the game in English, which would be, I think, a lot of people here in the States. What do you know, Nate, off the top of your head, when the translation was completed?
I
know, put you on the spot there.
I don't. I have pages in front of me that should link me to it eventually. So, no, I really don't.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'll look it up.
Well, as I say, whenever it was completed, sometime after, I was kind of back in late 2008, early 2009, kind of thinking about how I wanted to play through the game. And at the time, I was running a blog on 1UP in which I just talked about whatever, and I thought it might be kind of cool to try to just throw a podcast together of a group of guys who had never played Mother 3 and were playing it for the first time, and just kind of, you know, for all of us to talk about our experiences with the game, and that's actually how I met Nate for the first time.
I think by the time we started podcasting, we were like two or three chapters in, because we had done it just like posting on the site at first.
Oh, you're right. That's right. We just did like a collective like text, like blog. Yeah, where everyone wrote stuff, and then I just kind of posted it in there. Oh, yeah, that's true. And then we got the podcast figured out, and kind of went from there.
That's right. Completely figured out.
Yeah, nailed it.
Never a problem.
No problem. The hosting was splendid. Yep. But yeah, so that's sort of Nate. That's how we first met. Was just random strangers coming together to talk about Mother 3. Nate, had you played Earthbound by this time? Or, I mean, what drew you to even wanting to play Mother 3 and talk about it?
Well, I really had no experience with Earthbound at all before then. And I can't really say why I was interested at all in what you were proposing, other than you made it out to be kind of an interesting experience. So I thought I might, you know, just kind of jump in for a while and see what it was.
Nice. You just wanted to get that that voice of yours out on the internet.
That's right.
Share your gift with the world. Mm-hmm. It was so funny when we recorded for the first time, and even just talked for the first time. Nate was the youngest of us. I mean, Nate, how old were you then at that point?
That would have was like January of 2009, so I would have been 17.
Okay, so Nate's 17, and then I think everyone else at this point.
Or no, I would have still been 16. Okay. But anyway,
even better, and everyone else was at least over the age of like 23. I think I was 23, and then Jason and Josh would have been over that age. And Nate just comes on, and he just has the deepest voice out of anybody. And I think we were all just like, "Who the fuck is this kid?" Like,
I don't think I said anything until like the very end of it too. There's like one sentence where you're like, hey, do you want to talk about this, maybe? Like, well, sure.
Why not? And, so we the goal was to have everyone play through Mother 3. And,
which didn't happen.
Did not happen. I was the only one who finished it. So by the last podcast talking about Mother 3, it was pretty much just me telling everyone else the ending.
It was about 5 minutes in the last episode.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just kind of interesting now to come back and talk about Mother 3, because, I mean, this is the game allowed Nate and I to first meet each other, and then now here we are almost 3 years later, and we're both at NWR, and we're on a podcast talking about Mother 3, so it's kind of appropriate, I suppose. Now, Nate recently has gone back to actually complete the game, and if you haven't seen it, he's been publishing a series of, I guess sort of features talking about his experiences playing it now and just what the game even means to him on a personal level. So I mean, Nate, what motivated you to even go back and finish the game now, like almost 3 years removed?
Well, I think you had actually mentioned something about it on Twitter. You're probably talking to Neil or somebody. And then I kind of got in that conversation. We talked about kind of what we talked about now, which is how, you know, influential it was in us meeting each other. You know, what a good game it was, at least from what I played. And that kind of motivated me to, you know, go back and finish it to get the full experience.
Yeah.
And from there, I kind of discovered how important it was to me and how much I was actually connecting with it. And that kind of led to me writing.
Okay. And I mean, in terms of what you've been writing about and how you've connected with it, I mean, what aspects? I mean, just the fact that it led us to both, you know, writing and recording here at NWR, or even just the scope of the game?
It started out that way. There are also some things in-game that I really connected to. Kind of the situation of the characters, the very close personal impact each one is in the game, how mm-hmm. much everything affects them so deeply. It's not like this big abstracted quest to save the world. It's we're trying to preserve our community and our families, and that was just a point for me to grab onto and kind of expand upon.
Yeah, no, totally. I just went back and like played through the first chapter. I meant to play through more, but just mm-hmm. kind of ran out of time. Like about a week or two ago, to kind of freshen up for this discussion. And that first chapter of the game always is so wonderful. And mm-hmm. I played Earthbound over the summer, and I mean, I love Earthbound, but coming into Mother 3, the sprites just have so much life to them. Mm-hmm. They're so detailed, and there's so many different animations they're able to pull off, you know, with the GBA hardware versus the SNES. And that first chapter still just gets me. I mean, when Flint finds out that his, you know, that his wife has died, mm-hmm. in that scene where he picks up the plank of wood that's on fire, and he's like beating back his friends, and, you know, ostensibly his neighbors who are trying to help him and comfort him.
And that's something I wanted to kind of capture in the writing too, is how expressive it can be just in the sprite work and situations where things aren't being said. There's no, you know, heavy exposition that's trying to explain everything in minute detail. It's just how people act, you know, how they kind of express themselves without words, just through actions.
And how they cope with such serious events.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. I mean, that just, it's such a great game. And it really is such a shame that it's so, I guess, cumbersome to play it here in the United States.
Oh, kind of.
Well, yeah, I guess, it's harder than just going to the store.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I guess it's not very, very difficult.
If you're even a little bit internet savvy, you can probably pull it off. But...
which we'll get to in a minute. We'll outline how to do that yourselves. But I guess having completed the game now, I mean, what are your feelings about it? I mean, and have they changed since you played it, you know, part of the way through the first time?
I'm trying to remember where I stopped the first time. I think it was probably midway through chapter 7. I was at kind of a low level grinding point.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this isn't leading me anywhere. I'm not gonna, you know, more time into this is not gonna help me. So, and getting there and past there this time, I discovered some really interesting points that I just never would have thought of before, like especially when they go to the island. The kind of druggy, mysterious island that they get washed up onto, and some of the really dark and disturbing things that they're presented with there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. Like, I guess similarly to Earthbound, I mean, it just seems like it's going to be such a light and like mm-hmm. sort of kid-friendly game.
And in then, some instances, it is. Like,
oh, yeah.
The difference between Chapter 1 and Chapter 2 is profound.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at times the game can be just downright silly, you know, and mm-hmm. sort of whimsical.
Yeah.
But then,
and
like,
that's part of it. It's it being able to balance those two halves so effectively.
And I guess sort of like, I guess if you want to get meta about it, like sort of reflecting, I guess, the duality of life there, you know, and, uh-huh. and the good times and the bad.
Exactly.
And putting its characters through these situations.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, is there anything else you want to say about, like, the features specifically that you've been writing? I mean, has it been sort of cathartic even writing the pieces? Or I mean,
yeah. Yes, especially once I get past the point where I stopped the first time and I can look on these new parts with a fresh take, kind of take what I've been doing and apply it to those parts.
Yeah.
And overall, it's not, it kind of started out as kind of a concise review or look at the chapter, but I found that as I kept writing, it was more kind of existential in a way.
Yeah.
Kind of just observing the characteristics of what's going on in the situations.
Right, and that's kind of the tone I've gotten while reading, like, what you've written to this point, or at least what you've posted to NWR, is, yeah, it's become less about, like, outlining action for action what happens, and more about, like, outlining what the characters are sort of experiencing, and even relaying that to your own life, in a way.
It's such a strong part of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I guess for anyone who hasn't played Mother 3, you really should. And like Nate was saying, it's not too hard to go about and do that. Basically, if you just Google Mother 3 fan translation, it'll take you to the site you need to go to. And you can either, there's two ways to do it. There's the slightly less lazy way where you can download a ROM of the Japanese version of the game, and then you just... the group that translated the game, they've got like the patch on their website, and you just download it and apply it to the ROM, and then bam, like you've got your translated ROM. Or I think if even you just search for the translated ROM, there's websites now that already have it hosted and translated and ready to go.
Yeah, definitely.
and then you just need an emulator. And normally, you know, I wouldn't condone downloading ROMs and emulators and all these things, but you know, in an instance where a company just refuses to bring their game you know, to the United States, and there's no way to, you know, really play it, I would say.
No court would find you guilty.
Yeah, no. How could they?
It would be a crime not to play it.
Exactly. Yeah, they would probably sooner lock you up for not playing it than playing it this way. And, Nate, off the top of your head, do you know the name of the, like, the translation group that did the English translation?
Well, I know it's... I think it's tied into the Starman website.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's actually the same people, but I know it's on there.
I know that they recommend, and I suggest you do this if you're at all feeling guilty about downloading the game this way, is like buying official merchandise. So like shirts or like you could buy like the player's guide or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that's probably not a bad route to go if you want to support the people behind it in some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's just such a great game, and it's, I would really recommend anyone, you know, go through the trouble of playing it. I really think it's worth it, and Nate, I would think you would agree with me.
Yes.
And this just goes to show, anyone out there, you know, if you want to make your video game podcast dreams come true, just start a crummy podcast with a couple people talking about a game, and then 3 years later, you'll be at NWR. I think it's pretty much
right.
Guaranteed to happen.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Just like us.
Yeah, we are pretty rich now. We are in the 1%.
That's right. I've bought all the copies of Mother 3 that exist, actually.
And you just swim in them.
Yep.
In your mansion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's in one of your mansions. Yeah. It's great. Life is good.
My fall mansion.
Yeah. Yeah, up in... you know, up on the East Coast, where we really can appreciate the colors of fall.
Yeah, it matches the box.
Yeah, exactly. So, I would definitely recommend playing this game. So, I guess, Nate, did you have anything to add in closing before we go ahead and say goodbye?
No, I mean, people can find my features. They're posting, this one posted on Tuesday, the latest one, but they usually post Monday, so.
Yeah, and I would recommend anyone who's played the game to go through and read them. Like I said, it's not a
Or don't, if you don't want things kind of spoiled.
Well, exactly. If you
I try not to include a lot of explicit detail, but
I would think if you've never played the game, you probably wouldn't get a lot out of reading it. I mean, maybe you would appreciate some details, and maybe it would further spur your curiosity and interest in the game. But really, I think if you've played the game, it's interesting reading someone's sort of in-depth and personal experiences with it. And it's a great game for it. So
definitely.
I would recommend if you played Mother 3 to check out Nate's feature.
So I've been playing Frogger 3D on the 3DS for a few days now. I haven't touched it too much in the last day or so, but there was a little bit of hubbub when this game was first covered by some other site. I forget which site it was, because they basically just said...
I think it was IGN.
Might have been IGN. They were just like, oh, by the way, this is Neil there, and we got Zach with us as well. Basically, they just previewed the game by saying, it's Frogger in 3D. What do you want? And that, having played it now for a while, it is.
Played the game at E3, I was pissed off by that, because I actually...
It's not just Frogger in 3D. There's
a lot of
shit. I
regret that I did not have the chance to do this, but it was my intention. It's just that, it was getting back to Konami's booth was kind of a bitch, and that I thought of this too late during E3, but I wanted to go through the 10 levels that they showed off and, like, detail what each one had, because it was stuff where it's like... Oh, yeah, you're on a skyscraper, and then Frogger gets killed, and then birds come and pick up his dead carcass. Or, like, you're in Las Vegas, and then you get run over by a car on the strip. Or, like, a tank runs you over. Like, it's pretty ridiculous.
Like, I've played an arcade port on 3DS. I played and reviewed Pac-Man and Galaga. That was Pac-Man and Galaga on 3DS. This is not just Frogger on 3DS. First of all, I played through maybe about... 6 or 7 stages by this point, and first of all, one thing that I found is that it's actually a lot more difficult than I would have expected. I'm finding
it was never that easy.
No, it's a challenging game. Basically, each level has like 3 different stages. They just move the exit around on you. They give you a level, and they put the exit halfway all the way across the level, and then you go to the exit, and then they throw like a whole bunch of coins around the stage. And move the exit somewhere else. So you got to go get all the coins and then go to the exit. And then they do that one more time. And that's basically the entire game. But the levels get crazier and crazier. Like, I'm finding that there's a recurring theme on some of these stages where a giant Mack truck just blows away everything else on the highway that you're trying to cross, which is kind of crazy. And if you get hit by the Mack truck, then your Frogger flies, you know, through 3D space onto the screen, which is kind of a cool effect. But like some of the coin gathering can take a little bit of time. So you're intently playing through a stage of Frogger for like four or five minutes, and then you die, and you just have to go back and redo the whole thing. And it gets, and after like the third time that happens, it starts to get really infuriating. You get 2 lives per stage. And there's a lot of multi-level climbing, so you have to climb over crates, but you can only approach the crate from one side. And then when you jump off of a crate, you're going to skip 2 or 3 spaces, so you got to be careful you're not jumping into another obstacle right away. And it's a lot of fun, actually. It looks somewhat polished. It's not, you know, it's not going to win any visual awards probably, but it doesn't look like it's a game that was developed in 5 minutes. It looks like it's a game that had at least someone put a lot of love and care into the game.
Yeah, Tak Fuji, the crazy dreaded guy at Konami, who was infamous for, I think it was Konami's E3 2010 press conference.
Okay. It's fun. It's pretty simple, but I mean, it is Frogger. There, basically, the game plays like an overworld map, kind of like a Mario Galaxy 2 kind of style, where you're just kind of... There's a background, and then there's a whole bunch of lines in the background. You just travel across the lines like it's an overworld map, even though it's not really. There's actually even like branching paths to some extent. Like I'm in the towards the end of the second world, and there was a branching path that I went to an alternate exit in one of the stages, and it let me sneak off on one path instead of the other, which is kind of nice. The levels haven't been too varied yet. I've basically gone just to 2 different urban cities. I'm kind of hoping we get into some more crazy environments, maybe even like something like outer space or like a backwater or something. Haven't hopped onto too many crocodiles, although there was one. There's a ton of achievements, and the game unlocks achievements like crazy. So basically, I mean, you get the same achievements over and over again. You get them like their currency, and then you spend them to unlock bonuses. So it's not like you get an achievement once and then you have it. It's just like an accomplishment that you can keep getting over and over again, like getting to an exit without being hit and stuff like that. There's a whole bunch of unlockables like concept art and stuff like that. There's street paths.
Wait a second. Concept art.
Well, yeah. I haven't unlocked any yet, but I'll have to check it out and see what's really in there. I haven't had a chance to actually unlock any of that yet. I haven't gone back to it since I first got the game. There's even street paths, although I honestly couldn't tell you what it is. Maybe you can trade concept art. I don't know. I think there's maybe even some sort of a multiplayer component, but I haven't had a chance to check that out, and I probably won't because I don't know anybody else with a 3DS, and it's almost certainly not online. So, but yeah, I mean, if this was a budget title, I mean, I think this would be a great 3DSware title or 3DS downloadable eShop.
Well, I think it's slightly game. A budget. It's available for $30.
Okay,
budget, which is slightly a budget.
That's less than like the most expensive 3DS games are going for. That's cheaper than the vast majority of 3DS games. But
yeah, there's actually a bunch of games that came out at a lower price point. Most of them from Konami, like that Dr. Lotrick game. It's going to be $30.
Sure.
Deck of Sports was $30.
I feel like if there was a $20 3DS price point, this would be a game that would be ripe for it. I don't know that I could justify spending more than that. Although, I don't know, maybe the game opens up a little bit, because so far it's been the same sort of like 3 exit per stage mechanic, and I'll pick it up and I'll play through a stage, but more often than not, I'm actually getting frustrated by dying, because I'm trying to get all the coins per stage, even though you don't have to. You get bronze, silver, and gold medals depending on how many coins you get, I think, and also how many times you died on a stage. And so, of course, I'm going for all the coins, because really, getting the coins isn't that hard, but I'm actually on a stage right now where there's a ton of crates and a ton of holes, meaning that you have to like figure out how to jump off a crate but not into one of the many, many holes that are scattered around, because you skip like 2 or 3 spaces when you jump off of an object. So it's sort of like a maze at this point, trying to figure out how to get around it to get to the, but not only the exit, but to get all the coins within the time limit. But yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's Frogger. I've always liked Frogger. I'm a classic arcade junkie to some extent. I've always loved Ms. Pac-Man, and I've always loved Frogger too, even though I haven't ever really played a ton of it. But it's one of the classic arcade games that's always appealed to me quite a bit. So I'm happy to get a chance to play a new, improved version on 3DS.
Cool.
Worth checking out. If you see it for cheap, totally worth checking out.
I think it would be the kind of game that if I ever found it for sale, like if I saw $20 or less, I'd probably pick it up.
Yeah, 10 or 20 I think would be a good price point for this game. Definitely look into it if you are a classic arcade, and if you're a fan of challenging games with simple mechanics, this might be up your alley.
Yeah.
Like, alrighty.
You know, Konami, $30. Frogger, hop hop.
Insert coin. Waha!